There's been a lot about young women in the news lately. I don't know whether you know that ours wasn't the only general election last week. Finland had a general election, and some of my family who are here today were over there seeing Santa, but this general election was quite exceptional. The Prime Minister who's been elected is Sanna Marin. She's 34 years old. There are four of the other cabinet members under 35, all young women. So unusual that I'm afraid the rather rude president of Estonia next door referred to them as a crowd of sales girls being elected to government. He was told off very soundly, and he's had to make a public apology. These young women speaking for their country. We celebrate today a fantastic idea of God using a young woman. What about Greta Thunberg, another Scandinavian, speaking to the leaders of the nations about climate change, named Woman of the Year by a leading magazine? Young ladies seem to have the attention, and they did in the Christmas story. What's the world coming to, you might say? What an amazing but miraculous idea that God should choose to come through a young woman as a baby into this world. Recently, I've been reading Mythos, Stephen Fry's retelling of the Greek myths, all about the Greek gods. Lots of details. Very violent, full of lust and power and death and struggle. So different from what we're celebrating in this week to come. Mary was probably a teenager. My mum was 21 when she had me in Newport. I don't know how old your mum was. Some of you could probably be younger, quite a few be older. But young women, a young woman, central to this Christmas story. A Jewish girl in Palestine. Can it be true? It sounds extraordinary. And she was told, "You will call his name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." What? From a baby? Forgiveness? Now? Can it be true? How's he going to do it? It's sometimes easy to forget these things when we come to celebrate Christmas. Now, Mary's song is called the Magnificat. It's generally sung in Anglican churches in the evening, quietly by a choir. They say it's very popular in cathedrals. That wasn't how Mary sang it. Here's a modern translation which tries to get the tones of it. "I'm bursting out with praise to my Lord, my God. I'm dancing, I'm rejoicing in my God the Saviour." Bursting with joy, dancing, not very much like church. But that's the way she put it. Why are we so reluctant to let go with the way we sing and praise God? Is it those, happy clappies? Pentecostals? The black churches? Well, Mary wasn't exactly white, remember that. But she burst out with her praise and thanks in a way that sadly, perhaps, many of us have forgotten to do. It's louder at football games, isn't it, really? Which is better, God or goals? Answers afterwards. You know, worship and praise and doing things together somehow grows our faith more than studying theology. reading the Bible even. But something about praise and worship, God's Spirit really touches us. We need to worship in ways that grab us and make our hearts burst with praise. That's what Mary tells us. Praising and dancing, really. We should see more of it. But Mary had a message. There's two parts to this Magnificat. One is her praise and her worship. The other is she had a message, a social message, if you like. God's mercy flows in waves. God shows his strength by scattering the bluffers and the braggarts. God knocks down the tyrants. He lifts up victims from the mud. The starving poor are set down to a banquet. And the callous rich, he leaves them out in the cold. So says a modern translation. Now, there are some people who don't really like social and spiritual mix. How many of you were at Lambeda a few weeks ago when we had a special service of all our congregations in the area? And we had Professor John Noland from Bristol to preach. John Noland is one of the world experts on Luke's gospel. And he says of this, you simply cannot divide the praise from the politics. The praise of God and concern for God's needs in the world. You just can't divide them. Remember, Mary is a teenage girl. And she speaks for God. She blesses God and God blesses her. It's a miraculous story. But, you know, an MP said earlier in the year, I wish these Christians would shut up. Let them get on with their knitting. Really? You cannot divide the praise and worship of God from the service of God's world, the needs of the poor, and the criticism of the powerful. And there it is in this Magnificat. There was once a preacher, and he got his Bible at home and cut out all the bits about being helpful, sociable, serving justice. He cut out all the pages. He took it to church and he rattled them in front of him. He said, see this Bible? It's full of holes because I've cut out the responsibility God gives to his people to serve his world. You just can't divide it, and Mary doesn't. Of course, her son was even more radical. You could say, I blame the parents. Jesus, of course, was even more radical. He didn't come in great robes or pointed hats. He came and he lived and he worked with the ordinary people in the fields, on the street, healing, serving with the poor and needy. And what did they do to him for it? It was taken as a criticism of the powers that be, and eventually they killed him for it. We, the church, have a way to go before we quite get that. Christmas. Is it true? Can it be true? Here we are today, looking at Mary's song. I found John Betjeman's book of poetry. He wrote a poem called Christmas. And here, just to end, the last couple of verses. And is it true? And is it true? The most tremendous tale of all. Seen in stained glass windows, hue. A baby in an ox's stall. The maker of the stars and sea. Become a child on earth for me. Is it true? If it is, no loving fingers tying strings amongst those tissued fripperies. The sweet and silly Christmas things, bath salts, inexpensive scent, that hideous tie so kindly sent. No love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple shaking bells can with this single truth compare, that God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine, with which we too will celebrate in moments. Thanks, Beck, for sharing your hopes. What will God do in your life and mine? What are our hopes for future? Not just in your personal life, but for your place in society. Worship, it makes a difference. Action, will you be part of it? What is the front line where you as a Christian live and act for God? I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing. God took one look at me, said Mary, and look what's happened. Christmas is coming. We celebrate, you and me, as God's Spirit works in us. Let's pray. Lord God, you took ordinary lives, very, very ordinary lives, young lives, and many slightly older, and your Spirit worked in them and through them to your glory. You gave them a dream. Blessed are those who dream dreams and are ready to pay the price to make them come true. Lord God, make us part of that for your glory's sake. Amen.